and gentlemen, you are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a community. Oh gosh, I don't have my paper in front of me. Finish it off for me, Pastor. I'm sorry.
This is a ministry of community Christian fellowship.
Sorry, I usually have my paper in front of me.
In Prospect, Ohio.
Go ahead.
I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm the host of the show tonight, the Pastor Spot Show. And we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our phone number there is 740-494-2222, and our web address is prospectccf.com. You're doing it to me, Terry.
I'm rubbing it off. I'm rubbing it off on you.
Anyway, we'd love to have you come to the church or call or just listen to the program, and great to be on here tonight. It's been a good day, a long day, but I must say it's been a cold day, and it's cold for everyone. It's been a pretty good day, though. Hey, boy, Christmas is sneaking up on us, and it's great for some, and some people are having challenges with it, and it's my favorite time of year, though, I'll tell you.
From what you were saying, it sounds like you made a few families happy. You know?
Yeah, you know, last weekend we had our Christmas blessing at our church, we had about 17 families come in. And,
now, what do they do? Do they come to us? Is it a service? Do they come to a service? And then,
well, actually, the way that works when we do that is they come in. It's the same time every year, pretty much the same. It's usually the second weekend, first or second weekend in December. Okay. And they come in and they register at the door, and then they come in and they listen to a Christmas message. Mm. Have a small Christmas service. We have some singing, and I give a small message. And then there's several. We had probably, I would guess, probably about 15 volunteers on Saturday. And after the message, the volunteers are paired up with parents, and they go in like three at a time. And we have all the gifts on tables and divided boy, girl, and by age group. And then there's also, when they're done, we have an area where they can wrap. And we have limited clothing. Then after that area, they go over to the mission house and can go through what clothes are there and coats and that kind of thing. So, you know, we are always still taking coats, though. We really are. And it's just such a time of blessing, and it helps those families that truly have a need. And it's just been a blessing that we can do that every year. And, you know, there's so many people out there that have helped us this year and helped us bring in those things and have those gifts available. We've had help this year, I know, from Modern Woodmen and from the United Federal Credit Union helped us out this year, and the Prospect Pharmacy, and folks in at the United Bank in Prospect. We had huge help from Dollar General, the new store in Prospect.
I was going to say, it helped us
quite a bit. Yeah. Many individuals. Too many to name one because I don't have to name them all.
Sure.
But we had, you know, help from those people. And it's just been a real blessing to see people helping. Let's see, there was money came in this year as it needed to. Prospect Fire Department, the Battle Run Fire Department helped us out quite a bit. And it's just, we couldn't do this stuff without them.
Yeah.
And what a blessing that is. Mad Hatter Printing and Shirts helped us out a good bit. It just, you know, goes, it's great. The more I mention it, the more I keep thinking of other ones that have helped out so much.
I was trying to think of the ones you mentioned last week. That was the one, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just, it's great to be able to help people. It truly is. And something else I wanted to mention, if you guys listened to the show last Friday over the back fence with Pastor Steve and Scott, I had on my sister who is lost her home in the fire in California, and it was a pretty good show. She told a lot about what was going on and honestly what's going on the ground there and how difficult it is. And I was going to have her on tonight, and she messaged me, and she said that just earlier, and she said, hey, she said, they moved my RV yesterday, or had to move the RV again yesterday to its current resting place. They can't leave them where they're at very long. Part of that whole California
thing. Are they containing them now, or I don't know if that's the word.
The fires are contained.
Okay.
The problem they're having right now is FEMA's got
a lot of mobile housing
there.
Okay.
And California can't come up the agreement of how to hook them up and where to put them.
Oh.
You know, when we had this problem in Gulfport, Louisiana, and certainly in
Katrina or whatever.
From Katrina and down all through that whole area along the coast down there, everyone always thinks it was all in
New Orleans.
New Orleans, but it really wasn't. It was that whole coast. And, I mean, they immediately jumped in and made areas to bring these trailers in. And I was actually there when they were running temporary sewer lines and all these things to hook them up and get them going. Well, California doesn't quite operate that way. So there's a lot of housing sitting there not being used because they haven't figured out where to put it and how to hook it up yet, or if they're even going to let them do it. And I know in the case of my sister Laura, you know, she had an RV donated to her, a pole type, and it's fine for her, but, you know, she can't leave it more than where it's at, like a week at a time, because they make them move it again. Even though they do have ways, when they're in someone's driveway or whatnot, you know, they can hook up to their sewage and it's fine, or, you know, dump at their place or add water. But, you know, California still has laws they won't allow them to sit there, and they're not being very accommodating to their people. But anyway, that's just the way it is. And my sister is she's doing well. She's, I think she's doing pretty well emotionally and spiritually, certainly well. And she's been trusting God through all this. She did leave her address and phone number if anyone wanted to help her or get a hold of her. Her address, and I just had this a minute ago. The address where she can receive mail, go to Laura Whitaker, Whitaker, at 1109 Valley Oak Drive, Chico, California, 95926. So that is her address, 1109 Valley Oak Drive, Chico, California, 95926, and that's Laura Whitaker. And I'm going to flip over here to her phone number because I know you people out there. I don't think you're going to prank her, are you? I hope not.
Boy, I would hope not. Everything she's been through, I mean, that's...
Her phone number is 530-828-2873. If you'd like to call and encourage her or just talk to her or leave your number, I'm sure she'll call you back. Yeah. Again, that was 530-828-2873. So many people there struggling and having a hard time. And, you know, she shared with me that one of her main concerns right now is that with all the delays and help and everything that's going on, people that initially were, I don't know, maybe running on adrenaline and saw there was going to be hope down the road and were waiting to see what was going to happen and how things were going to work out. Well, a lot of those avenues are closing on them. Mm-hmm. And you don't even see it on the news media now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's yesterday's story. So all these people that are struggling to find places to stay and to live, you know, their jobs aren't back. Right. I mean, you know, all their businesses that burned out, they're not back.
Right.
And people have lost their doctors and places to go and just all kinds of things. So even with, like, my sister, she's given, this is a temporary address of someone that says, I'll collect your mail for you.
Yeah.
And she has no mailing address.
Right.
No post office to go get the mail. But, you know, she's afraid that a lot of people are getting desperate. And when desperate times come, people sometimes do things that aren't.
That was going to lead me to my question. Do you think a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, do you think some people have lost hope, kind of? I mean, I hate to even say that like that.
But. You know, she told me she feels they have, and there's a lot of people. She's starting to get that feel from people. Man. And
that's the worst thing I think you could do in this.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But it's, you know, I don't know that you live in an area like that. You never know when something like that's going to happen. I mean, you know, Alaska just had a huge earthquake.
Yeah.
And that goes right down that same fault line that runs down through California. And, you know, that that area out there is just tough. And she lived in the most beautiful place in the world, Paradise, California. Wow. It's just gorgeous. It's not gorgeous anymore. And I think that we get over-legislated sometimes, you know. When you're trying to save a spotted owl and burn down the whole mountain range because of it, you lost a lot more than the spotted owl. And I think that spotted owl would have just been just fine if they would have clear-cut some fire areas and kept the brush cleared out of there and allowed people to cut down trees when they died. And that's what caused that. That was the cause of this massive fire, was all the dead trees and brush laying there that they weren't allowed to touch. Just amazing to me. But, you know, that's not really kind of what I want to talk about tonight too awfully much. It's an important thing, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to, next show, we're going to have Laura back on. Hopefully, she's got a sore throat, she said, and she said she just can't talk tonight, but she does want to come back on. But anyway, I could talk a little bit about joy and happiness and Christmas and... something that's been very heavy on my heart is why Christmas? Why did Jesus come? Why did God send his son? You know, more and more Christmas is becoming more of a secular holiday, although Scott was telling me that he saw a survey that basically said that most people actually still look at it as a religious event. But I think when we come back to it, we have to really look at what people really think about and what they really know. I was reading a book recently by Ken Ham. It was very interesting, and he was talking about the change. There has been a real paradigm shift in our society and how they think and what they do. And he was talking about the days of Billy Graham, when Billy Graham back in the 60s and 70s and early 60s, he could fill stadiums. And thousands of people would come forward and want to give their lives to Christ. And what Ken Ham was saying, that he don't believe that can happen today. And the reason is because back in that day, just about everybody knew some simple things. One, they understood creation, and they knew that God created the world. And they understood who Jesus was. They understood who Adam and Eve were. They pretty much knew, you know, that was where sin originated. They knew that sin was in the world, and they knew that people did bad things, and that was called sin. And they knew that they knew about Jesus, that he was God's son, that he was born in a manger, and he grew up, and then he sacrificed his life on the cross, and he rose again on the third day. And they knew that story. They knew that history, that background. Now, whether or not that it sunk in, they did anything with it, was a different story. But at least they had the basics, okay. Mm-hmm. And he related that to being very similar to after Christ's ascension, when Peter went out to talk to preach to the Jews, even though the Jews did not accept him initially as the Messiah. When he talked to them about the history leading up to the Messiah and up to Christ, the Jews understood it because they knew that history completely, and they followed him. And then when he presented the truth to them, they had that decision, do I accept this and walk with Christ, or do I not? And that was very similar to what we've had happen in the United States for many, many years. And 40 years earlier, before the 60s, it started drastically changing in Western Europe. And even in Australia. And then America's kind of following suit with that. And what I mean by that is, from that point, then he goes and he tries to talk to the Greeks. Well, the Greeks had many forms of God. They had many idols and gods they worshipped, and they just didn't know or believe or anything about the God that the Jews knew about. Well, so when he starts talking about, you know, God sending his son and what happened and preaching to them, the first thing they say is, what's this guy babbling about, and what strange gods is he talking about? And it's because they didn't know. And it's real interesting that in our culture today, just 40 years later, 50 years later, from in those early heydays of the Billy Grahams and a lot of those people that you saw revivals everywhere and people's lives being changed, we have shifted so hard that, A, no longer are kids even learning about Jesus. They're not hearing it in school. Matter of fact, they're being really pulled down the evolutionary line of evolution. They're being told that the story of Jesus is just like that, a fairy tale. No one talks about sin anymore. You know, it's whatever feels right to you. So all these things that used to spur people to listen and realize there was hope and find that there was a hope, Now they don't even understand the concept. If I were to tell you, if I were to sit with a group of kids right now in a typical classroom in America, and I say, you know, God sent his son, Jesus, and he was born a baby in a manger. And they're going to say, what God? Buddha? Allah? You see what I mean? There's all these gods. It'd be very similar to the Greeks back in that culture of that day. Of what God are you talking about? You know, are you silly? And then you start talking about Adam and Eve. Who's Adam and Eve? Oh, I don't know who that is, but they're probably part of that silly story you're telling. Or, you know, you start talking about sin, and immediately it's, hey, don't judge me, man. You know, these are the things that you hear. So people aren't even realizing that there is the hope out there and where that hope comes from. Now, what I find pretty interesting, and we've got to figure out a way that young people start hearing the truth. And this is a challenge. I challenge people out there. I am really, we talk so much about separation of church and state. And because of that, we're supposed to not teach our kids that anything about creation. Well, the problem with that is that this country was founded with a knowledge of creation. And here's what's really weird. Do you realize that being an atheist or a non-creationist and evolutionist is a religion? People don't realize that. It truly is. Because you have to have faith that there is no God. You have to have faith that all these things happen by chance. And all these things involve faith in what you personally stand for and what you personally are. If you see someone that is really full of faith in their religion, they're dogmatic about it. I mean, they're really, you see the same thing in evolution. You see people, no, this is the way it is, and I'm not listening to anything else. Yeah, it's a religion. It certainly is a religion. They have a God, too. Their God is the God of chance. Everything happened by chance. So that is their God. And I challenge them to tell me that it's any different, because it's not. And if you look at evidences in this world, you know, if you truly look at evolution, what happened, you know, Darwin didn't come up with this on his own. The Greeks believed basically the same kind of thing. He just brought it into more of a historical picture and archaeology and talking about it that way. The Greeks believed the same crazy thing. The truth is that when you look at biblical creation, first of all, you can't say I believe the Bible and not believe in the biblical creation. Because if God lied about that in the Bible, how can you trust the rest of it? You see what I mean? You can't believe in part of the Bible and not all of it. Either it's true or it's not. And we got to get that through our head. Second thing is, Jesus spoke of a six-day creation. And then we start looking at some things that are very interesting when we start looking at the evolutionary model. And I can just touch the surface of it. First of all, I'd like to ask you out there. There is a magazine called Axe and Facts. It's put out by the Creation Research Council. If you Google Axe and the symbol for and, facts, Axe and Facts, you can get a free subscription to it. It'll come every month. And it's amazing, the stuff, the scientists in there, the stuff that you'll read. But it's just like, you know, they'll find these completely intact mastodons and different things in sedimentary layers, okay, of Earth, where they say it took billions of years to make all these sedimentary layers. Well, what in the world is a whole animal doing in the middle of it? Can someone please help me with that one? Where did that come from? You know, the Bible describes in the Genesis flood of the ground literally upheaving from underneath. Boy, that might count for some of those sedimentary layers, huh? You think about that? And, you know, when I was traveling out west last year, I was just amazed at the rock formations of sedimentary layers that were standing completely vertical, and the layers were vertical instead of horizontal. Well, when soil builds up over years, makes all these layers, why would they be vertical? Because they were heaved up from the bottom. Because, that was the Ice Age, right? Well, if it were the Ice Age, we know the Ice Age, a glacier moves extremely slow. It's not going to heave up and bury a mammoth in one day and bury him in it. The Ice Age also only went so far south, and we still see this stuff. So we can't go there. There's so many places we can't go. Now, it's open for debate and argument. The problem that I have is we're not allowing this argument. We're teaching evolution as fact in our schools when it is nothing more than a theory. It's all it's ever been is a theory. It was always called the theory of evolution. That's what Darwin called it, the theory of evolution. It's not a proven fact, but yet our children are not allowed to debate it. They're not allowed to talk about it. And it is taught as fact in our schools just because they have to remain everything godless. Now, what's wrong with that picture? You know, if you look at our Earth and everything about it, it so points to intelligent design, it's unbelievable. These things can't happen by chance. I mean, it's just impossible. For everything that happened, you know, even just think for a second about reproduction. What a process, huh? For conception and an embryo and everything that happens. Okay, if that all evolved, how did they get to that point without becoming extinct in the meantime? You know, all these questions that just can't be answered. You know, and it just goes on and on and on and on. But our children are being taught and being conditioned to not question it. From kindergarten on, they're being taught that everything's billions and billions of years old, and this with this, and you came from this, and everything eventually walked out of the water and all this stuff. But there's no question that comes into it.
Pardon the pun, but they're saying that that's the gospel. They're taking it as the gospel.
That's their gospel because it's their God. It's their religion. So what they've done by removing religion from school, they brought it back in school. And it's their religion. It's
just
their God.
Under just the way that they want to interpret it.
Under the
right?
guise of something else. Right, it's the way they interpret it. This whole thing with separation of church and state, I completely understand. You know, there's no way that we wanted to happen in this country what happened in Europe. You know, with you know, the church ruling with an iron fist and all that. That's never happened in this country. It was never even attempted to be happened. But what tells you that God doesn't belong in society anymore? In other words, your God belongs in society. Your God of chance that you worship with great faith, because there's nothing about evolution that doesn't require great faith. Your God's okay, but my God doesn't belong in society or anywhere else. I have to tell you out there, you are a fraud. You are a fraud. And it has been put upon the American people, and it's been put upon our poor children. Do you know that we have the highest suicide rate that we've ever seen in this country of young people, the highest drug rate? And when they sit down and talk to kids and say, what is going on with these kids today? Why are they going down this road? It comes back to one four-letter word. It's something they don't have, and they don't have hope. You know when that hope left? When they pushed God out of society. See, regardless of what you think, if you believe or not, the bottom line is God gives us hope. God gives us hope for tomorrow. I can hope for tomorrow. There's an old song that we sang in the churches for years in just about every denomination. It was because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that he holds the future. That gives me a reason for tomorrow when everything stinks today. And our young people don't have that. They have to have faith in themselves. Or faith in a government that is as crooked as it can be. Or faith in a society that can turn their back on them at any minute. A faith in a society that doesn't understand them. A faith in their job that may be yanked out from under them. What hope are we giving our young people? By taking that hope of tomorrow away, what do they have? They don't have anything. So I challenge people out there that listen to this show to have conversations with your people in your church, people in your neighborhoods. We've got to bring hope back. And the only way we're going to bring hope back isn't through a campaign slogan. The only way we're going to bring hope back, quite frankly, is to give our kids a choice of something positive to believe in or something that they can have no hope in. And we've let this go too long. I truly believe we have. Our Department of Education on the federal level has been godless for years, and they've made a conscious choice to make our society godless. There was an article written almost a decade ago by someone in the Department of Education in the monthly periodical that came out that basically said that that teachers needed to start looking at themselves more as prophets of a new age and new thinking than as school teachers. And I really take concern and argument with that for the simple reason their job is to educate reading, writing, history, arithmetic. And when I say history, history, not made up history. Not twisting the history to make it look like something that it's not. Look, we're big people here. We can handle the truth. We've made great mistakes in our history, in many cases, with different groups, with how we've treated them, with people of color, people from different countries. I realize that, and I don't think anyone in this country is going to argue that point. But I have to tell you the truth. We have to be honest about everything that went on. Not add to it, not change it to make it even something that it's not. You know I have so many friends that are minorities. I love them and they love me, and we have a positive relationship, and we want to draw closer to God, who's going to bless our lives and grow us together as a culture. All this new culture is trying to do is divide everybody.
Because ultimately, I mean, I was going to say, isn't that what you want anyway?
Absolutely. I mean, we don't want division. No one wants division. I recognize the mistakes. I'm ashamed of some of the mistakes, but I also know with all those mistakes that went on in this country, there were people that fought and lost their lives to right a wrong, and we don't forget that either. And our kids need to understand that. And our kids need to understand there's a God out there that loves them, and they were designed for a purpose. They just weren't some chance, a thing that popped along. And how does that ever make you feel wanted or important if you're just a freak chance of nature?
Yeah.
I mean, God
can't make you feel good. I mean,
the Bible tells us that God designed each and every one of us. And if you really look at us, It is totally by design.
Absolutely.
You know, we're made up. I mean, DNA, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Find me a scientist that can tell you how DNA evolved to become even DNA. And that's just on a micro level of everything that goes on in our world, in our lives. Do you realize the way this Earth hangs in space? That if it were to move a couple degrees one way or the other in the solar system and where it sits, we couldn't function or live here on Earth. Everything would change so drastically. The Bible tells us that God hung the Earth just where He wants it, and He keeps it there. I believe that. I don't believe none of this stuff can happen by chance.
Right.
We're foolish if we believe it. And I think that I think the best Christmas present we could give our kids this year is sit down and say, you know what? Let's get back to some reality. Let's talk about how important you are and why you're important. You are important to God, and that's why He made you. And let's talk about how God made this world and the things that we start out with. Let's understand why there's evil and why there's good. You know, people don't want to admit that there's evil out there. We know there's evil out there. You know, if we evolved as creatures, the same as dogs and cats and all those other things, why is it that we can have so much empathy? Why is it that we can have so much love? Why is it that we can have an appreciation for music? Why is it that we can have unbelievable compassion? Because God made us a little different than the other creatures.
Purposely.
Purposely.
Yeah.
Folks, love doesn't fit into the evolutionary picture, does it? Happiness doesn't fit into evolution.
It seems like that all came after, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, God created a person, and He said He made him in His own image.
Right.
And He created him with those attributes.
He gave you the ability to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Folks, I'm telling you, think about this stuff.
Had you not evolved, you wouldn't have had that ability to.
In what form do you mean?
You wouldn't have the ability to love or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
If you had have evolved.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Had you not evolved.
You'd just be a group of organisms that multiplied and did different things
exactly.
And functioned.
Yeah, yeah.
And functioned.
That's why your evolution was so important because...
And they just, you know, all this stuff is put aside. And when you question it, bad grades. I was talking to a boy Sunday that first year biology socialism in college. Okay.
It's a tough field.
Took his test, mm-hmm. took a major test. This is a straight A student.
Okay.
He dared to disagree with what the professor said. Mm-hmm. That was all a bunch of new age gobbledygook. And he dared to, I mean, it was an intelligent, well-written paper, but he disagreed. He got an F. And we're seeing this over and over and over and over again, that colleges are no longer becoming a place of learning. They're becoming a place of indoctrination. Like, you're going to follow the way we believe, mm-hmm. or you're not going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And if you're a teacher, good luck getting tenure. When you believe in creation or in God or even talk about it. And the problem is, that's not education. Education involves learning about something and learning the whys. It involves questioning, understanding, comparisons. You can't feed somebody the same diet all the time and expect them to grow and learn. But that's what we've done in our schools.
Yeah, and you would think that that's their right to be able to question. You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, why should I have to, you know, if I wasn't taught this all night, why should I have to believe? You see what I'm saying? I mean, I have my own.
Terry, I'll tell you something.
It's weird. I don't even know how to word it, but it's, I mean.
We have state-run schools.
Right.
Run by the state. And when I say the state, it doesn't just mean local, state, and federal level.
Government, yeah.
Government.
Yeah, yeah.
The government's official position is that they're not going to allow creation or even intelligent design to be taught in schools. The only thing they accept is evolution to be taught. They've made that decision. So they've kicked God out of the schools. From the time these kids were in preschool, all they hear about is billions and billions of years and this and that. That doesn't add up, mm-hmm. but they're taught it. That's called indoctrination. And by the time they get to be 17 or 18, they don't even question it. And if you try to question them about it, they have no answers.
Because they don't know.
They don't know. They can't prove it. Right. But they know that's the only way because that's what they've been indoctrinated to. Ah. And when you talk to them about creation, they think that you're either some crazy religious zealot or you're uneducated or misinformed or an old dumb uneducated hillbilly.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I know this for a fact. That's what people think. And the thing that, you know, they're being told, you know, in school, you know, it was okay for your parents to believe that stuff, but, you know, we're educated today. No, you are indoctrinating people today. This is not education. Education means that you're actually teaching something that it's fine to show a theory or an hypothesis. But let's debate it. Let's get it out in the open. You know, this one-sided stuff's crazy. You talk to a person, any student that graduates from high school, and you sit down with an honest comparison between what you believe about creation and what they believe about evolution and tell them you want them to argue evolution to you why it's true.
Okay.
They cannot do it because they have been indoctrinated. They have not been taught because you know why? There's nothing to teach. Mm-hmm. You know, these animals did not come from fish and turn into this and turn. You know, creatures were separated within their phylum, what they are. You know, I mean, even today, you think about it. You know, take a rabbit and a hare. They look just alike. They can't have offspring. You realize that? They can't. Monkeys and people can't have offspring. A horse and a mule can. Or a horse and a donkey. But what do they have? A mule. a mule is sterile, it can't breed again. I mean, on and on and on down the line you go. It stops. When there's mutations, they stop. Now, there are changes. I'll give you a good example. Say that you live in a part of the world that has extremely hot sunlight. And you're probably, if you're a light-skinned person, you're going to get sun cancer. Am I right?
Sure.
Well, eventually, over a period of hundreds of years, most of the people living in that region that have any longevity are going to be darker-skinned people because they can withstand the sun. And all those other things about areas that we live and why things work, those make sense. But to say that we just for no reason start evolving and changing, and, you know, now scientists are saying that the odd thing is when now that they're really understanding genetics, they're tracing back human DNA to possibly, they're saying, 6 or 7 people. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
How could we trace back to that small of a group of people? It's kind of interesting. Do you know that there was... Who was on the ark?
Noah.
Noah, his 3 sons, Noah's wife and their wives. Everyone else was killed in the Genesis flood, according to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you might begin to understand some of that trace back now, huh? You see, and more and more and more we're starting to see these things. Another thing we're starting to see that makes no sense about the billions of years on this earth is the rate in which we're losing our gravitational pull. And if the earth was as old as it was, we'd no longer be here because the gravitational pull would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
It looks more like an earth that's probably about under 10,000 years old. Isn't that amazing? You know, let's debate these things. You can say I'm crazy all you want, but let's debate them. Don't let these kids not debate them in school. Don't give these kids a fair argument. Don't flunk them on a test because they disagree and don't believe what you're telling them. You know, the sad thing is, though, when we've let it get this far, is that evolution has never stopped being a theory. So why are we teaching it as fact? There's no factual basis to back it up. But we've been pressured and pushed and pressured and pushed, and we've had activists activate, and we've had activist judges on our courts, and we've had people take what was supposed to be a true concept of the separation of powers and of where religion actually should and shouldn't be, and make it into something that it was never meant to be. I mean, it's truly sad what we've done. But, you know, to me, coming on this Christmas season, when I look out there, and I love the story of Jesus' birth and what it means, and I think out there that there's probably only a handful of kids out there that will ever grasp and understand what that was truly about, because they're being robbed of it. That's wrong. That's abuse, folks. Anyway, you slice it. You're taking these kids' hope away, and I hope you're happy with yourself, because when I see out there and I see what's happening to many of our young people and the hopelessness and the despair and the horrible, horrible death of so many of our young people between drugs and suicides, what have we done? You know, this is not a progressive society. This is a regressive society. We're not progressing as a people, we're regressing. And we're going back to something godless and something very scary. And I think all we have to do is look at history and look at societies that have done this. They've destroyed themselves from the inside out. We're doing the same thing, and nobody's wanting to slow it down and step up. I got 2 minutes left, and I want to encourage you people out there to speak up. Enough's enough, folks. You know, I'll listen to anyone's idea. I love everyone. Don't get me wrong. This isn't, but I want you to realize our kids' lives are at stake. You know, have a great Christmas this year. Tell them about baby Jesus and why it's the truth, not just some storybook story. It's not a rhyme. It amazes me that our kids can go in the school library and bring home books on witches and warlocks and everything else, but you'll never see them be able to bring a book home about Jesus. What have we done? What have we done? Folks, if you want to come visit us, we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our service times are 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 church on Sunday. We do have a Christmas Eve service this year at 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Please come. It's about a half-hour service. You'll love it. And we love people. We're welcoming. What a group. We're the Church of Misfit Toys. And we're great. It's just love to have you come, and please visit us. Call me if you like, 740-494-2222. Love to talk to you. God bless you all.
Activities for kids.
Yeah, we've got next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, the next one, will be Team Kid Night at 6:30. It'll be our Christmas party night. Kids come from 6:30 till 8 o'clock, and that's from, actually, that's from 3 years old all the way up through sixth grade. And what a great time they have.
And your teenagers that you...
Yeah, I have pizza with the pastor on the same night. And we have pizza. It's just a good time. It really is. 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Don't miss us.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun. For the man with the golden voice,